Right now, though, an important conversation with Miri Eisen. Miri is a retired colonel and a senior fellow at the Reichman University, as well as being a former media advisor to the Prime Minister of Israel. So if anybody knows about the subject we are going to discuss right now, it is her. Miri Eisen, thank you for being with us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Simon.
Miri, we're in a very precarious position right now. I think 40 hostages remain in Gaza, 20 ostensibly still alive. The threat of an attack by the IDF on the Gaza city. And the crucial question, I think, is will the threat of force aid the freeing of the Israeli hostages, or will it put them at risk?
It's like the $64,000 question that we don't want to answer, because without putting that kind of pressure, Hamas have no interest to release them. And when you put that kind of pressure, because Hamas are the ones who use this as a terror tactic, they see this as a strategic asset as far as they're concerned, I really worry about what those Hamas terror fighters will do to the hostages. So you want to put Hamas in the corner, but by putting them in the corner, Hamas, you may be endangering the hostages.
I think this is the problem with the scenario, is that most of us are incapable of putting ourselves in the shoes of a Hamas fighter in terms of trying to understand the ideology that motivates. And I think without that understanding, we default to what it is that makes sense to us and that what we understand. And hence, I think there's no conversation to be had here. What would you be advising Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu if you were talking to him this evening?
I would definitely be pointing out that, sadly for Israel, Hamas, the terror organization, is in a win-win situation. If we attack, then the entire world is both against that. There's no question that at the end, inside a city like Gaza City, it's going to have casualties. And I'm talking both within the Palestinian community and within the Israeli soldiers. That's horrible. But if you don't do that, what we're letting is Hamas to define the rules of the game. And that is bad for everybody. So what I would be saying is put on the pressure, take it carefully. And I know that sounds horrible. And after 23 months, we're almost, tomorrow's going to be the 700th day of this impossible war, horrible war. And those 50 hostages, the 20 that are alive there, really, it's 48 hostages now, the 20 that are alive there, can you imagine? They've been there for 700 days underground.
No.
Impossible to imagine. And I have to tell you, I live in Israel, and I can't imagine that on the other side of it, and that's why the decision-making is so difficult, that at the end of all of this, Hamas is the one that's being legitimized, and Israel is the one that's being vilified and delegitimized. It's so impossible. So I actually would say to push on, because I don't believe Hamas. They're a terror organization. They are not you and me. They don't think in the same way.
Wow. The competing interests. I mean, I'm thinking if you were a hostage, a parent, you certainly have one set of objectives. If you're an Israeli government, you have to think of it in different terms, because you're looking after 10 million people, not just your own family. And yet this requires the wisdom of Solomon to be able to untangle this mess.
Or as we like to call it, Sophie's choice, because it's an impossible choice. So I want to divide this into two different parts, that my professional aspect that looks at Hamas does not believe Hamas. But Simon, I'm an Israeli. I'm an Israeli colonel, and I live here, and I am part of my people. And it could have been my children or myself or my parents or grandchildren, because that's where we are. They've taken from 9-month babies through 84-year-old Holocaust survivors as hostages. And I say that because for me, I would do anything possible to get back the hostages alive, because I worry for the fabric of my country. And I absolutely think that that helps and enables Hamas. And that means that Miri just did a contradiction in words, but that's what I said. Sophie's choice, impossible choices. I would go down that road more because I want to look in the mirror here inside Israel into my fellow countrymen and know that we all understand how important it is that we defend our citizens, that we bring them home, that we defend these people, and that they're not held in captivity forever.
Mary, when historically did Israel's strategy vis-a-vis negotiations with terrorism change? Because I remember being a youngster in Tebbi raids and the like, it was a given that there were no negotiations with terrorists. When did it begin to change?
So I'm gonna tweak what you just said right now, meaning we always preferred action, but if you cannot do action different from other governments worldwide, we would go to negotiations. And that has been something unique in Israel, because both because we have the draft, which means that all of us, myself, my husband, my, for that matter, my in-laws, my children, everybody here is drafted. And as such, there's this unwritten contract in Israel that if something happens to you in war, let alone hostages, you're going to be brought back. And in this case, they took so many civilian hostages. Very, very, very few soldiers are actually hostages. It's mainly civilians just like you and me. And the state of Israel, if we could bring them back, we would do it through action. But you know how horrible Hamas is? Last year in August, rather than have us rescue hostages, they executed them. And that's the kind of thing that we're standing up against right now. So I say, that's how horrible they are. I need to get them back. Because if Hamas execute hostages again now, like they did in August of 2024, a year into this horrible, horrible war, I don't know what that will do to the fabric of Israeli society. And sadly, the world will continue to vilify us. The world will blame us for us being hostages. It's very challenging. And again, I completely acknowledge the horrible war that this is and the amount of casualties that have been.
So Hamas are still hoping for that final victory picture where they come up from underground waving some sort of a flag, claiming some sort of non-existent victory. That's what this is about.
They're always going to claim victory. And the question is, are we going to listen to them? Or are we going to, at the end, stand on, really, in that sense, that place that we understand as human beings and as free human beings? And Hamas is a terror organization. And they need to separate between the Palestinian people, who are crushed by Hamas themselves, of whom they say that they represent, and to differentiate between those, because that allows us at least to stay in that ground where I say, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I want them to live better lives, those Palestinians, but let us not sell Hamas's terrible lies. They openly call not just for our annihilation, our destruction, dehumanizing, and this curse has gone around the world. Here we are after almost 700 days, and Hamas has legitimized itself, delegitimized Israel, and even worse, Simon, dehumanized Israelis and Jews worldwide. And let's not get there. We're not going anywhere, and we're going to continue. But I really do think that Hamas, in that sense, is using every aspect in the terror handbook, if I can call it that, both in the information warfare, in the delegitimizing, in terrorizing us and scaring us, and in making the entire world blame us.
Mary, you've taken me to 5 o'clock, which is exactly where I need to leave it. Thank you so much for your time. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.